Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning. God is good and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. He is good and greatly to be praised. I thank God for you this morning, and I just want to say, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And we know that that was what they were saying when Jesus came on his donkey with her coat. Hallelujah. His coat. But we know that he was betrayed. But I love the book of John because John kind of breaks things down and comes to you at it from a different perspective. You know, we always talk about the woman of Bethany with the alabaster box, and they don't know her name in Luke. But in John, he tells you it was Mary, the sister of Lazarus. And he tells Judas, he snake. Poor is going to be with us always. But it also breaks it down. John lets you know Judas was a thief. So it wasn't that, so it starts to make sense why he went after those 30 pieces of silver, because he was about money. But we all know that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And the evil that Judas betrayed was suicide. He betrayed the Savior. But he did what he was assigned to do. He was assigned to do what he did. And he did it very well. But John breaks it down to let us know who he was, what he did, why he did it. He was a thief. He got mad because he couldn't sell that oil for money. And so he went after to betray the Lord. And most of it was for what? Self-gain. And as we get into our Old Testament word this morning, we're going to be talking about Solomon and how the mighty can fall. How you can be up one day and down the next. How you can be all that and a bag of chips, but nobody knows that all your chips are nothing but crumbs. And Solomon, with all his wisdom, had a problem. And that problem was foreign women. His problem was foreign women. And not following the commandments of God. Thou shalt have no other God before me. The biggest and the baddest of all the commandments. The worst thing you cannot do. If you don't follow God, who are you following? Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. Thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven images. Thou shalt not worship them, or bow down to them. And what did Solomon do? Born was all kind of gods. Little g's. And he is the reason why the kingdom was divided. It was his cross to bear. It didn't happen under him. It happened after him. Jeroboam, Rehoboam. And we're getting ready to get into that word so we can understand why so much stuff is still going on in Israel. Still going on. In that stretch of land from Gaza to Palestine. And I'm not talking the little small Gaza Strip as Palestine. I'm talking about the entire region before Israel ever was put back there as a state. We got so much going on, so much history in the word that's going on right now. We don't understand. We are living in troubled times. We are. But God, understand, God is in charge. But we cannot worship at the feet of anybody. We cannot bow down to anybody. We cannot get so caught up in the world that we forget God. He will not hold us harmless. We'll forget him. Worship at the idol of everything but God. There's a whole bunch of idols now. You got everything you imagine. It's out there. Spend hours and hours on Facebook, but give God a Sunday morning. Spend hours and hours watching the game, hour on Sunday, and complain about if you got to go to an hour and a half. Hours and hours watching movies on YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram, and complain about giving God 2 hours, 3 hours to Sunday school, and then you went to church, and then you complained because you was in there too long, and you wanted to go to the movie. Your kids wanted to go swimming. They wanted to go to the water park. They want to do this. They want to do that. All right, during football season. The Bears are playing this afternoon. Well, I got to be sitting here. Excuse me. Jesus didn't complain on the cross as he died for us. To remember who we belong to. Don't let the news of the day, the du jour, get you off your square. Because there's always going to be something evil happening. Something evil is always happening. But we have to be men and women of God, and we got to pray. Just as I'm sitting here, I get an alert that says, missing 6-year-old Houston Warren may have disappeared weeks ago, investigators say. Somebody's claiming the child is missing when they believe that the child may have been missing a lot longer. You know, we have to understand so much is going on. We, you know, it's all crazy what's going on. We got to love God more than we love ourselves. And we got to trust God in all things. And thou shalt have no other God before him. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Father God in heaven, we come in the name of the Lord today, lifting up the name of Jesus as we move forward in your word, Father God. We ask you, Lord God, to let this word permeate our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, that we will know that you, Lord God, are the divine inspiration for this word, and that we must trust it as we trust in you. Father God, we stand on your word today. That we stand in our light is you, which is your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord God, light the Holy Spirit in us, that we will know and be able to speak and understand what is said when we speak to you in our special tongues. Lord God, give us discernment and understanding to know what is right and what is good. Lord, let us understand that you are in charge of everything. Lord God, we give ourselves away this morning. Use us, Lord, for your glory. Lord, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Father, let these humble words that come from my mouth be acceptable in your sight, for Lord, you redeemed me. You are the one that gives me strength. You are my God, my Savior, my Father. You are my absolute. And Lord, I thank you for assignment. May I do it to the best of my ability. And may you get the glory from every word that is spoken. From this basic instruction before leaving earth, I thank you this morning. I praise you always. And I ask you to continue to give me strength to do what you have called me to do. Preach the gospel and teach the word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We each have an assignment, and mine is a starting, is about to start. And we are in 1 Kings chapter 11 through chapter 12, verse 33. And then we will be going to our psalm words, which will be Psalm chapter 69, verses 5 through 15, verse 13, part of verse 13. So let's get in your word. Get your Bibles out, y'all. I am coming out of New King James to my King James readers. There are times I will go over and read from King James, but the study word that I'm coming out of is the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And it is a daily devotional that I share with you. This is my time with God. And God put it in my heart some years ago to start sharing my devotional time with the world. And so that's what I do. I share it. And I get all giddy for Jesus. So y'all may hear tears in my eyes when I read certain words. You may hear tears in my voice, excuse me, because I am a weeping willow. The Holy Spirit gets me and the tears just come. You know, you may hear me say some things and you're like, oh my, she's kind of radical. But I'm radical for Jesus because Jesus was radical too. In his time, he did all kind of stuff. And made folks mad, but we understand if we read the word which you were with me yesterday. Caiaphas knew exactly who Jesus was, but he chose to get rid of the one to save the many. But he didn't understand that he wasn't doing anything. It was already predestined that Jesus and preordained that Jesus would give his life for the many. He gave his life for me. He gave his life for you. He is our Savior, and we are his loving brothers and sisters and friends, and he knows each of our names. So let's get in the word, y'all. We are coming out of 1 Kings chapter 11. We are coming out of 1 Kings chapter 11, and it says, but King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh. Women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonese, and Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Can it be any clearer? God gave this word in Leviticus. He told them who they could marry, who they should not marry. And he did not want them following after other gods, because when you start down this path, you find yourself all involved with stuff you don't have any clue. That's why you have to be very careful about being yoking with somebody. You don't know who you yoking with when you start getting involved with people and they start talking about, oh, well, we're going to go see my psychic and we're going to go talk to this lady. You know, she can talk to the dead. When you read your words, you know, you better run. Like nobody's business. But Solomon, the wisest man, I want you to put a pin in that. He was the wisest man in the world. And he fell. All that wisdom. And he didn't follow the laws and the statutes of his time. I'm going to read it again. But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh. That was the first wife. Women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Sidonese, and Hittites. From the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. But it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after their gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after Asherah, the goddess of the Sidonese, after Malcolm, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord as father David. Then Solomon built a house, built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and the kill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Moloch, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he did likewise for all his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. So the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this and have not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. Nevertheless, I will not do it in your days for the sake of your father David. I will tear it out of the hand of your son. However, I will not tear away the whole kingdom. I will give one tribe to your son for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. Now the Lord raised up an adversary against Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was a descendant of the king in Edom. For it happened when David was in Edom and Joab, the commander of the army, had gone up to bury the slain after he had killed every male in Edom, because for 6 months Joab remained there with all Israel until he had cut down every male in Edom, that Hadad fled to go to Egypt, he and certain Edomites of his father's servant with him. Hadad was still a little child. Then they arose from Midian and came in Paran, and they took men with them from Paran and came to Egypt, to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who gave him a house, appointed food for him, and gave him land. And Hadad found great favor in the sight of Pharaoh, so that he gave him a wife, the sister of his own wife, that is the sister of Queen Tahpenes. Then the sister of Tahpenes bore him Gidabath, his son, whom Tahpenes weaned in Pharaoh's house. And Genabath was in Pharaoh's house among the sons of Pharaoh. So when Hadad heard in Egypt that David rested with his fathers, and that Joab, the commander of the army, was dead, Hadad said to Pharaoh, let me depart that I may go to my own country. Then Pharaoh said to him, but what have you lacked with me that suddenly you seek to go to your own country? So he answered, nothing, but do let me go anyway. And God raised up another adversary against him, Rezon, the son of Ildai, who had fled from his lord Hadadar, king of Zobah. So he gathered men to him and became captain over a band of raiders. When David killed those of Zobah, and they went to Damascus and dwelt there and reigned in Damascus, he was an adversary of Israel all the days of Solomon, besides the trouble of Hadadar. And the abhorrent Israel reigned over Syria. and he abhorred Israel and reigned over Syria. When Solomon's servant, Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephraimite from Zereda, whose mother's name was Zerah, a widow, also rebelled against the king. And this is what caused him to rebel against the king. Solomon had built the Milo and repaired the damages to the city of David, his father. The man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor, and Solomon, seeing that the young man was industrious, made him the officer over all the labor force of the house of Joseph. Now it happened at that time, when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem, that the prophet Ahijah, the Shilamite, met him on the way, and he had clothed himself with a new garment, and the two were alone in the field. Then Ahijah told him of the new garment that was on him, and tore it into 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, take for yourself 10 pieces of this, the Lord, the God of Israel. Behold, I will tear the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and will give 10 tribes to you, but he shall have one tribe for the sake of my servant David, and for the sake of Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, because they have forsaken me and worship Asherah, the goddess of the Sidonese, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Malcolm, the god of the people of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do what is right in my eyes and keep my statutes, my judgments, as did his father David. However, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, because I have made him ruler all the days of his life for the sake of my servant David, whom I chose because he kept my commandments and my statutes. But I will 10 tribes. And to his son I will give one tribe, that my servant David may always have a lamp before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen for myself to put my name there. So I will take you, and you shall reign over all your heart's desires, and you shall be king over Israel. Then it shall be, if you heed all that I command you, walk in my ways and do what is right in my sight, to keep my statutes, my commandments, as my servant David did, then I will be with you and build for you an enduring house, as I built for David, and will give Israel to you. And I will afflict the descendants of David because of this, but not forever. Solomon therefore sought to kill Jeroboam, but Jeroboam arose and fled to Egypt, to Shishak, king of Egypt, and was in Egypt until the death of Solomon. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon, all that he did, and his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the acts of Solomon? And the period that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years. And Solomon rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his father. And Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his place. And Rehoboam was sent to Shechem, for all Israel had gone to Shechem to make him king. So it happened when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard it, he was still in Egypt, for he had fled from the presence of King Solomon and had been dwelling in Egypt, that they sent and called him. Then Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, your father made our yoke heavy. Now, therefore, lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke which he put on us, and we will serve you. So he said to them, depart for 3 days, then come back to me. And the people departed. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived, and he said, how do you advise me to answer these people? And they spoke to him, saying, if you will be a servant to these people today, and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. But he rejected the advice which the elders had given him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him. And he said to them, what advice do you give? How should we answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, lighten the yoke which your father put on us? Then the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, thus you should speak to this people who have spoken to you, saying, your father made your yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. And now, that whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastened you with whips, but I will chasten you with scourges. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam. Third day, as the king had directed, said, come back to me the third day. Then the king answered the people roughly and rejected the advice which the elders had given him. And he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father chastened you with whips, but I will chasten you with scourges. And that's like whips with things that cut you, like little sharp objects, and it tears the flesh. That's what Jesus was beat with. That's why the stripes on his back was because he was beat with objects. So the king did not listen to the people, for the turn of events was from the Lord, that he might fulfill his word, which the Lord had spoken to Ajai, the Shulamite, to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Now, when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, saying, what share have we in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. For your tents, O Israel, now see to your own house, O David. So Israel departed to their tents. But Rehoboam reigned over the children of Israel who dwelt in the cities of Judah. Then King Rehoboam sent Jehoram, who was in charge of the revenue. But all Israel stoned him with stones, and he died. Therefore King Rehoboam mounted his chariot in haste to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel had been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. Now it came to pass, all Israel heard that Jeroboam had come back. They sent for him and called him to the congregation and made him king over all Israel. Excuse me. There was none who followed the house of David but the tribe of Judah alone. And Rehoboam came to Jerusalem. He assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 chosen men who were warriors to fight against the house of Israel, that he might restore the kingdom to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. But the word of God came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, speak to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the rest of the people, saying, thus says the Lord, you shall not go up nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Let every man return to his house, but this thing is from me. Therefore they obeyed the word of the Lord and turned back according to the word of the Lord. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim and dwelt there. Also he went out from there and built Bethel. And Jeroboam said to his heart, now the kingdom may return to the house of David. If these people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will turn back to their Lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Therefore the king, as advised, made two calves of gold and said to the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. And he set up one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. Now this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. He made shrines on the high places and made priests from every class of people who were not the sons of Levi. Jeroboam ordained a feast on the 15th, 8th month, like the feast that was in Judah, and offered sacrifices on the altar. So he did at Bethel sacrifices to the calves that he had made. And at Bethel he installed the priests of the high places, which he had made. He made offerings on the altar, which he had made at Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month, but in the month which he had devised in his own heart. And he ordained a feast for the children of Israel and offered sacrifices on the altar and burned incense. God made him king over Israel, and already he was doing stuff worse than Solomon. What happened to the folks that built that one golden calf in the time of Moses? He made them drink it, drink their sin. And then he had to go back and get the commandments again because of one calf. Now, these crazy folks, them built two calves because one king is afraid to die and reunite with Rehoboam in Jerusalem. So, again, fear, not faith, understanding. God gave you this kingdom. God spoke to you through one of his prophets. And here you go, sinning, quick as you get the position to do what you want to do and not honor God. And so life lessons, life questions, life examples are Dr. Stanley. And I share them with you. The word makes much more sense. And the word for this morning in life lessons from 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1, King Solomon loved many born women. Everything that the Lord had forbidden kings to do in Deuteronomy 16 through 17, Solomon did. He accumulated Egyptian horses, silver, gold, and foreign wives, and so lost the blessing of God. And we're going to go real quick, to Deuteronomy chapter 17. I think I said Leviticus. But it is repeated in Leviticus. But the main one comes from Deuteronomy, when God breaks it all down and gives the absolute of what you cannot and can do. And this is what it says in Deuteronomy. And if you want to know about the golden calf, it's in Deuteronomy chapter 9. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 17. And in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 16 and 17, and I will be coming out of King James for you from a King James readers this morning. And we're going to go up to verse 14 to get it all in context. And it says this, in chapter 17 of Deuteronomy, it says, when thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are about me. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy from among the brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother, but he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses, for as much as the Lord has said unto you, you shall henceforth return no more that way. Wow. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And it shall be when he setteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out that which he before the priest, the Levite. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brothers, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, and that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children, in the midst of Israel. So he told them way back in Deuteronomy that they were going to want a king. So God already had predestined, already knew that they were going to want a king. And then he gave some edits to the king. Don't go back the way of Egypt. Don't go after the horses, and don't go after foreign wives. Everything that God told them not to do, Solomon did. And as we continue, in 1 Kings 11 and 14, the Lord raised up an adversary against Solomon. When the Lord raises up an adversary against us, he does so not only to discipline us, but to bring us back to wholehearted devotion to him. Even in judgment, he shows mercy. And this is a life question. And it says this: compromise can be defined as making a concession in order to gain something. At times, compromise can be a good thing. If you've ever had to compromise on what restaurant to choose or how much to pay for a new car, you don't need to explain how compromise works. We engage in healthy compromise when we give in to another without compromising our core values and beliefs. Every healthy human relationship experiences an element of give and take. An healthy compromise, on the other hand, involves abandoning sound and godly ideas and standards, leaving us morally and spiritually bankrupt. The story of Solomon illustrates how unhealthy compromise ends in tragedy. Solomon surpassed every ruler of his time in wisdom and riches. People from all over the world sought out Solomon for his wisdom, yet Solomon deliberately disobeyed God's warning against intermarriage with other religions. And, you know, again, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 3. The result, Solomon's heart turned away from absolute devotion to his God and began to cling to the gods of his wife. No man ever soared so high but fell so low. He was like Icarus, trying to get, flew too close to the sun. We live in a world full of temptations that urges us to compromise our godly values. But when we choose to compromise, we pay a price, even though it may not seem immediately apparent to others or even to ourselves. Satan wants us to believe the lie that no one gets hurt when we compromise our core values. But that lie has cost men their jobs and ministries, children their innocence, and at times it has cost individuals their very lives. God's righteousness is forever. He doesn't wink at compromise. Consider Solomon. After his compromise came collapse, God didn't waste any words. He said he would rip the kingdom out of Solomon's hands because of his compromise. That is exactly what happened. Unhealthy compromise is costly. It corrupts. It brings collapse. Has God put his finger on something in your life? Perhaps you've crossed the line and are no longer flirting with compromise, but have jumped headlong into it. Satan is both cunning and powerful. And if he can get you to give up what is important to you, he can send you down a dark road that could cost you dearly. Don't fall for it. Don't give in. Don't compromise what you shouldn't. Trust God and leave all the consequences to him. That's what the enemy does. He comes to and destroy. He didn't come to give you life more abundantly. The devil came to take your life and to knock you as far off your square that you are so far in darkness that it's going to take a whole lot of struggle to get back to the light of the square that God has placed you in the light of his love, in the light of his wings. The enemy is not your friend. That only you can't unequally yoke with the devil and think everything's going to be all right. 1 Kings 11 and 40, Solomon therefore sought to kill Jeroboam. Apparently Solomon heard of this prophecy against him and instead of repenting, sought to frustrate it. But there is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. Whatever the Lord must do to fulfill his word, he does. That is why God's word is an immovable anchor in times of storms. Hallelujah. My hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' love and righteousness. We got to stand on the word of God. And then it says in 1 Kings 12 and 28, the king made two calves of gold centuries before the Israelites had constructed a golden idol and claimed, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." Exodus 32 and 4, and we know it's again in Deuteronomy chapter 9. But Moses gives an overview. Satan showed him changes his tactics. Unfortunately, he doesn't need to. Again, we fall for the okey-doke and drink the Kool-Aid. We need to stop, take a minute, and pray. Pray and pray and pray some more. As Sister Carolyn likes to say, you got to push. Push, you got to pray until something happens. We got to trust God and not fall for the okey-doke of crazy. Psalm 69:5-15. Oh God, you know my foolishness, and my sins are not hidden from you. Let not those who wait for you, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed because of me. Let not those who seek you be confounded because of me, O God of Israel. Because for your sake I have borne reproach. Shame has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children. Because zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. When I weep and chasten my soul with fasting, that became my reproach. I also made cloth my garment. I became a byword to them. Those who sit in the gate speak against me, and I am the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, in the acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of your mercy, hear me in the truth of your salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from those who hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the flood water overflow me, nor let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut its mouth on me. Psalm 96:6. Let not those who wait for you, O Lord God, of hosts be ashamed because of me. What Dr. Stanley said is what we do and how we live has a profound effect on those around us. They're watching us even when we don't know it. So we shall pray that God would enable us to represent him well at all times. Not just sometimes, but at all times. And as we continue, it says in Proverbs 17:20-22, he who has a deceitful heart finds no good, and he who has a perverse tongue falls into evil. I'm telling you, all you have to do is read the word, and it tells you everything that's going on, even right now. He who begets a scoffer does so to his sorrow. Father of a fool has no joy. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. We wonder why people go through, because they just all broken. Been there, done that, been broken inside, and it took God to put back my merry heart. I thank God for his word. I thank God for this assignment, because it is helping me, and I pray that it is helping you to hear the word of God. And as we get into our main word this morning, John 12:1-26. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. So the woman was not nameless in Bethany. It was Mary. And then it goes on to tell us, and how we know it was Mary is this. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. Now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, and this is our word for the day, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Then Jesus said, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's coat. His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him because they heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees therefore said amongst themselves, You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for the eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him, my Father will honor. We got to serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. We got to know who our Savior is. We got to know his name. We got to know that he is the one who gave his blood, who sacrificed his life. Salute. We are children of God. We are grafted into his vine. And it is through our heart, our soul, and our mind, and our belief in our Father God and in his Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus, you can't get to the Father. You have all these folks that say, I believe in God, but that Jesus thing. Okay, then you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. And I'm just being honest. You will not make it in. You cannot have just the Father and not have the Son. You got to have the Son first in order to meet the Father. Hallelujah. We are grafted in. John 12:16, when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him. Even though it took the disciples a long time to understand the meaning and significance of Scripture, when understanding finally came, it never left them, and it gave them the strength to continue despite great hardship. The question is, will we be blessed? Is he who comes in the name of the Lord, will we be blessed in our time of trials? Will we be blessed in our times of going through? Will we be blessed? Will we say Hosanna? Or will we be on the outside looking in, wishing we can get into the little narrow gate that's been closed to us because we chose the wide gate, the easy way. We chose easy over hard. We chose the good life over hardship. We got to choose God over everything. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We got to have a Hosanna in our spirit. We got to trust in the Lord with all our heart. We can't lean on us and our understanding. We got to acknowledge God in everything we do. Everything is the Lord's will. If he woke you up this morning, it was his will. If he started you on your way, it was his will. If he gave you a pep in your step, if he just said, rest, it is his will. We got to trust God. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Do you come in the name of the Lord, or do you come in your own self-gratification? Solomon became a self-gratifier. He had his women, 1,000 women. What can you do with 1,000 women? And you think about all those babies being born of them thousands of women and all the conflict that is coming from them. Get along. Think about thousands of kids not being able to get along. You create all kind of havoc because you choose to use something other than the heart, mind, and spirit that God gave you. We want, you know, I was talking to someone, and the man said he had probably 30 kids. I'm like, what? How you going to have 30 children? And can't even remember all of their names because they got different mamas. Come on now. That's ridiculous. God wants us to procreate. But he wants us to procreate in the confines of marriage. We got to follow the statutes. And we got to follow the commandments of God. There are certain things that God dictated to Moses. God dictated the top 10. And if you go by the top 10, you are doing the 2 that Jesus spoke. You are loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And you are loving your neighbor as you love yourself. Coveting what they have. You're not committing adultery. And you're honoring your parents. You're not lying on them. Top 5 God. Second 5 neighbor. We got to trust God, family. We got to believe in his word and know that it is true. In all your ways, acknowledge him. We got to acknowledge God in everything. Because blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Wherever you go, God will be with you. He will open doors for you. He will straighten paths for you. He will give you directions. He is a map of life. This word of God is your basic instruction on where you're going. And your attitude will determine your altitude. Are you a whiner and a complainer? Or do you say, I trust God? Whatever it's going to be, I trust God. And in the morning, I trust him in the evening. I trust God every day. Trust in the Lord. And I have some words from our sister in Christ. The word for today is this. Good morning. Everything God does is right whether we like it or not. Right on point. I'm sure Solomon didn't like the fact that his kingdom was about to be torn in half. Why? His disobedience to God. And a word from yesterday was this. Everything will not always seem like going right, but trust God. He has it all worked out. And that is a word for today as well. Trust God. He has it all worked out. We got to keep God first in everything we do. And think about everything that is written in the word of God. I pray that this word touched your heart, your mind, and touched your spirit. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. God is in control. Don't watch the news and worry. Don't read on the internet some horrific thing that's happened. Trust God. Every time we turn around and open the newspaper or an article beams on your phone or you turn on the news, it's some mass shooting. And know that all things are going to work out for the good of those that love the Lord. And what you should pray is, Lord, I pray that they knew you before they left this earth, because we are not promised anything but right now. And right now can be gone like a snap. We got to trust God. So I thank you all for listening this morning. I pray you have a wonderful day. Shout out to my granddaughter who is graduating today from the 8th grade and will be giving the valedictorian speech. If there are valedictorians for 8th grade, my granddaughter is the one. So she will be giving a speech this afternoon at her 8th grade graduation. So shout out to my baby for you. And I thank God that you are my grandchild. So I thank God for all of you this morning. And as we pray out, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours, family. Have a blessed and glorious day, keeping God first in all you do. And remember, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And there is only one Hosanna, and that is our Savior, Jesus Christ. Blessed are those of us that follow and love and trust in him. Thank you so much for joining me for Bible study. Come join me tomorrow, God willing, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. And we will be in 1 Kings again. And we will also be in John and Proverbs and Psalms. We'll be hitting them all. So thank you so much and be blessed and have a great day.